I was watching television, Jesus, the other day, and it was the story of a young man whose parents had been murdered. And my heart went out to him. And I thought to myself, how does somebody make it in life without Jesus Christ? When I served as chaplain for the Tulsa Police Department, I was at every unattended death in South Tulsa from 1987 to 1992. I saw things I wish I could forget. But I reflected last night on all the people in pain and wondered again, how does anybody make it in life without Jesus Christ? We've been studying Luke chapter 14. And I remind you what happened in this chapter. Jesus is invited to a dinner by the leader of the Pharisees. And he walks into a house, and all the Pharisees watch him because they want to trap him. And they ignore a man on the floor who is crippled. He has dropsy. His legs are swollen. He can't walk. He's poor, and he's overlooked by all the religious in the room. Jesus notices this crippled man first, and he goes to him and heals him. For those of us who follow Jesus, we're called Christians. The word Christian means little Christ. What Jesus did in the home of that Pharisee is something that all of us should imitate. We should go after the cripple. We should look out for those overlooked. We should move with compassion toward those who cannot help themselves. This is what Christianity is all about. But the religious are ignoring the man with dropsy, not Jesus. After he heals this crippled man, he turns to the religious in the room and he begins to teach them. And this is what we've been studying the last several weeks. When he finishes his teaching, there's a Pharisee who has already begun eating the dinner. But he's listening to Jesus intently. And when Jesus finishes, he says, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." Now, what did that man mean? Well, let me put it in English with an Oklahoma accent. Blessed is the person who knows you as king and eats bread in your kingdom. In other words, blessed is everyone who knows Jesus and follows him. I want to ask you a question this morning. I imagine that most of us in this room, maybe not all, but most of us have come to a place where we've received Jesus Christ into our lives. He is our Lord and our Savior. We have volitionally and willingly said to him, "I want you in my life. I want to follow you. I want to eat bread in your kingdom." Now, if you've said that, if that's your decision, I ask you this question. Why are you a Christian? Why are you following Jesus Christ this morning? Are you smarter than that friend of yours that's not? Are you wiser than that family member who thinks you're a kook? Why are you a Christian and other people are not? Why is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior and you are eating bread in his kingdom? But even the religious often ignore Jesus Christ. Why is that? Well, I want to show you this morning. If you know Jesus Christ, you have been compelled to come. The word compelled means you couldn't do anything other than come to Jesus. Wild horses couldn't have kept you away from Jesus Christ. And it has nothing to do with your smarts, nothing to do, Terry, with your wisdom, nothing to do with your talents, nothing to do with your good looks. No, you're a crippled with dropsy. But you've begun to eat bread in the kingdom of God because you have been compelled to come to Christ. And I want to show you this truth from a parable that Jesus tells the Pharisees. Let's begin reading in Luke chapter 14 and verse 16. The man who's heard him teach has just said, "Blessed is everyone who'll eat bread in your kingdom." Verse 15. Jesus said to that man, "A man was giving a big dinner, and he invited many to come. At the dinner hour, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, 'I've bought a piece of land, and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused.' Another one said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen.'" A yoke means a pair of oxen. "And I'm going to go and try out these 5 pairs of oxen. Please consider me excused." Another one said, "I have married a wife, and for that reason, I cannot come." And the slave came back and reported this to the master. Now let me pause right there before we continue. Some people get really upset because Jesus refers to slaves when he teaches. And he doesn't say anything like, "Now slavery is wrong." He doesn't correct the institution of slavery. And some people say, "Why didn't he do that?" Well, here's my answer. In the culture of Jesus, slavery was not racial. It wasn't like what it was in America in the 1800s, that God-forsaken institution of slavery based upon race. No, when the Jews had slaves, they were indentured servants. That means they were people in debt, and they couldn't pay. So they went to work for another person, a person they called their master, to pay off the money they owed. That was the kind of slavery in Jesus' day. Let's continue. Verse 21, Jesus says, "And the master, the head of the household, became angry when he heard no one was coming. And so he said to his slave, 'Go out once into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' And the slave said, 'Master, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the slave, 'Go into the highways and along the hedges and compel to come, so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited but didn't come shall taste of my dinner.'" Whoa. This is a parable, and the word parable comes from the same root word we get our English word parallel. A parable is a story that parallels our lives. In this parable, you find out something about your life. Let's look at it first. The supper that Jesus describes in this parable, the supper is one set by God, and it is called in Scripture the marriage supper of the Lamb. Let me explain what I mean. David, when Jesus returns and he folds up this age of grace, there will be a time of judgment where those who are not in Christ will be judged for their sins. But those who have come to Christ, those who know him, they will sit down at a dinner that God prepares. It's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's described in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7, where John says, "For the marriage of the Lamb has come," referring to the coming of Christ. "And his bride," that means us, "has made herself ready." So, this parable is a picture of people who come to Jesus in preparation for that great dinner God throws at the second coming of his Son. Now, before that time of the marriage supper, God sends out an invitation for everyone to come to Jesus. Come. Come to Jesus. This is the invitation. Now, what's interesting is when you come to Jesus, it's like eating a great dinner. "Taste and see," the Bible says, "that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. How sweet are thy words to my taste," the psalmist says. Let me remind you of something. When God invites you to come to Jesus Christ, to make him the Lord and Savior of your life, in the parable that Jesus tells, verse 17, he says, "Come, for everything is now ready. Come." Now, what does that mean? Well, religion will tell you that you come to God and you commit to him everything you can of yourself. But the gospel tells you, you come to Jesus Christ because the dinner that God has prepared for you in Christ has been set. Everything is now ready. Jesus died for you at the cross. And the only way that you are forgiven is to receive what God has done for you in Jesus Christ, to come to the great spread he has laid out. Jesus lived the life that you should have lived and promised you that if you come to him, all the blessings due perfect obedience, blessings that come from God, are now yours. Simply because you've come to the dinner. Because you've come to Jesus. You're eating bread in the kingdom of God. Come, for now is all ready. Let me tell you something. When you come to this great dinner, all of the world can be crashing around you. But you taste and you see that the Lord is good. And even when your husband is dying of cancer, you taste and see of the goodness of Christ. Even when your parents are murdered, you taste and see of the goodness of Jesus Christ. This is the invitation. This is the gospel message. Come, come, for all is now ready. But notice, in the parable, people didn't come. Those invited rejected Jesus. They rejected the invitation. Now why? Why would people do that? Why would you and I reject Jesus Christ? Well, in the parable, Jesus gives three basic reasons. Number one, present risk. In verse 18, there's a man who says, "I bought a piece of land, and I need to go out and investigate." That's like that businessman who is so concentrated on his investments, so worried about whether or not he's going to make capital, that he says, "You know what? I really don't have time for this Jesus stuff. I really don't have time to worry about what Jesus says. I don't need to eat bread in the kingdom of God. No, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make my own bread. And by the way, this is what the Pharisees were doing. Let me just issue you a caution. The only people who eat bread in the kingdom of God are those who see that their present investments in this world are nothing in comparison to following Jesus Christ. Second, potential reward. There in verse 19, there's a man who says, I bought 5 pair of oxen, and I've got to go try them out. So the potential reward for this man was selling these oxen to other people and making a profit. And this would be like that person who hears the invitation to come to Christ, to receive everything that Christ has obtained for him. But in his mind, he is saying, you know, why do I need that? Listen, I've got everything I need. These 5 pair of oxen. The inventory I have in my business. That which I'm going to sell. That's enough. I don't need Jesus. I don't need him to tell me how to live. I don't need him. I've got what I need. So they don't come. How about this one? Personal relationships. I've married a wife. I can't come. Please excuse me. It would be like that person that you share Christ with and say, listen, your only hope is to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And they say to you, man, I can't. My family's not Christian. They think I'm a kook. I'm married to a man who can't stand religion. I can't come. By the way, when the servant came back and reported to the master, that is God, why people were not coming to the wedding feast, every one of them had a good excuse in their mind. But we notice that God gets angry. Now, I realize that some of us have difficulty with how God, who is love and gracious and merciful and kind, how can he become angry? And here's the answer. He only becomes angry when the invitation to come to the dinner he's preparing through the work of his son is rejected by people who think they have something more valuable to do. They have relationships like with a woman that brings them satisfaction more than Jesus would ever do. Or they have risk that is consuming their thinking, and they can't even consider rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they reject Jesus. Only then do we ever read of the anger of God. Kiss the Son, the psalmist said in Psalm 2, verse 12, lest he be angry. Now, this servant then, that is sent out by God when the invitation is rejected. This servant is the Holy Spirit. Now remember how we started this lesson. Why are you a Christian and somebody else is not? Are you smarter? Are you wiser? No. God has sent the Holy Spirit to compel you to come. That's in our text. Now you say, I don't understand this. Everybody's invited to come to Jesus. Oh, of course. This is what is called the general call to come to the wedding feast. The general call is like a sheet of lightning on the horizon. You see it and it encompasses everything. But nobody comes. So God then sends out his Spirit in what is called the effectual call. And the effectual call is like a bolt of lightning. Preachers, businessmen, family members, We share about Christ with people we love. It's the general call, come to Jesus. But it's only the Spirit that is acting as a bolt of lightning. When you hear the gospel, boom, he begins to work in your life and you are compelled to come to Christ. All the credit of coming to the Lord Jesus must be given to the Holy Spirit. Now let me show you. In the book of Matthew, there's a parallel account of Jesus telling a parable just like this one in Luke. Now, though it's similar, it is not the same. In the book of Matthew, there are some details in the parable that Jesus gives that are changed. For example, in Matthew, it is a king who prepares the feast. Matthew is written to Jews who understood the kingship of God. Luke is written to Gentiles, and in Luke, it's a man who prepares a feast. The most common title for God in the book of Luke is the Son of Man. In the book of Matthew, servants are sent out, plural. That pictures you and me when the king sends us out in the Great Commission to ask people, to invite people to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But in Luke, it's just a servant, one servant. This is the Holy Spirit. So watch, in Matthew, which is a picture of the general call that goes out to everyone to come to the wedding feast that God has prepared in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew, the servants, that is us, when we go out, what do? We call. These are the words used in the book of Matthew. We tell and we bid. This is what evangelism is. We go out and we tell that coworker over coffee at break time. We tell them about Jesus Christ. We invite them to come to Jesus Christ. Jesus, we call them to come to Jesus Christ. Wait. That's all we can do. In Luke, the Spirit of God, he speaks. I'm using the language of Luke. He brings. He compels. You see, what's the difference? Here we go. I can remember when I was a little boy, I would go to prayer meetings on Wednesday night, and the fellowship hall would be jam-packed with people on their knees asking God to save people we loved. Why? Because we knew back then we couldn't convince people to come to Jesus Christ. Only the Spirit could compel them. By the way, this is something you and I need to remember if we ever go out one-on-one and we share Christ in visitation, or maybe we have a burden for someone we love and we're sitting down at the table at Thanksgiving or Christmas or another holiday, and we really want to talk about the Lord Jesus with someone who has rejected the invitation to come to Christ. This parable in Luke should teach all of us that before we ever speak a word, we should pray that the Spirit will compel. Because we can give the general call, which is like that broad sheet of lightning, but only the Spirit of God can compel a man or a woman to come to Christ. So if you're here this morning and you really love your son, listen, I got good news for you. There is one person who can compel your son to come to the Lord Jesus. And it ain't you. It's the Spirit of God. I have people tell me, I want God to save the world. No, you don't. Stop lying. You only want God to save those you're interested in enough to pray for. So I ask you a question. Are you praying for the salvation of the people you love? Only the Spirit of God can compel people to come. Now I want to close by showing you this. The subjects that are served at this wedding feast, those who come, are those whom the Spirit compels. And notice what happens. People start showing up. God wants his house full. And when people start showing up, these are the lame, the crippled, and the blind, that the Spirit is compelled. There's still room. So he sends the Spirit out again to the highways and to the hedges, to the people who were lost, maybe beaten and hidden in the bushes. And he says, you bring them in. And the Spirit does. Oh, wow. Listen to me very carefully. If you think being a Christian is being better than other people, smarter than other people, wiser than other people, you are mistaken. When Jesus walked into the home of that Pharisee and a dinner was spread out on the floor, ready to eat, all the religious people ignored the cripple. And they sat down. And they reclined. And they ate. And they watched Jesus heal the cripple. And they thought, can we trap him? He's breaking the religious law of the Sabbath by healing on the Sabbath. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, says to them, do you not understand what is going on? I am the King of Kings. And if you follow me, every need you have will be met. The dinner my Father is preparing is an eternal dinner where life is really lived and really enjoyed. But you think the only people worthy of a dinner are those who are good enough or smart enough. I tell you, I'm coming after the cripples. A man who hears Jesus teach says, blessed is that man who eats bread in your kingdom. And Jesus says, yes, but you don't even know how to get there, do you? You've all come to this room thinking that you're hot stuff, and you've ignored the cripple. I'm telling you, if you think you're hot stuff because you've got a business to run and you've got a hot wife that you enjoy a relationship with and you've worked hard to make sure your future potential reward is going to be there for you and your kids, you're not eating bread in my kingdom. And my Father doesn't like people like that. But he will go out sending his slave, the Spirit of God, to find that person who's been broken by his circumstances. That woman whose husband has abandoned her. That young man whose parents were murdered. That man whose business crashed because of his infidelity. The Spirit goes after those people who are broken, crippled, blind, and lame. And he compels them to come. Ten years ago, we had a church, I feel. We felt like we were hot stuff. And now we've got church services where there are people with drug addictions, people coming out of prostitution, immigrants that don't have a visa, people overlooked, wounded by their own actions or the actions of others. And we're not the way we were. But it could be that for the first time, we are beginning to eat bread in the kingdom of God. The Apostle Paul says, who is it that makes a difference among you? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, why do you boast as though you did not? If you are following Jesus this morning, it's because you have received the grace of God who sent his servant, the Spirit, to compel you to come to Christ. For by grace, you have been delivered to the banquet. and that not of yourselves. It is not of your own works or your own merit, lest any of us boast about our ability to sit at the seat of honor. When churches and Christians boast in their abilities, they fight for positions of honor and recognition. But when churches and Christians begin to eat bread in the kingdom of God, they go after the cripples, the lame, the blind, the weak, the impotent, by praying that the Spirit of God will compel the lost to come. Are you with me? Whoa, this is tough. This is tough. Because most of us want to be comfortable in our religion. Just like the Pharisees wanted to be comfortable in their house. And we want the people with dropsy to be shoved aside and ignored. And Jesus walks right into the middle of that and says, you may be eating bread today, but it's not bread in my kingdom. Because you think you're too good for my kingdom. Wow. May God always make you a pastor, a person who sees the man with dropsy. And may God make all of us, those who are called Christians, people who eat bread in his kingdom. Let's pray.